What up, everybody? This is the Lachey Show. Today is Sunday, June 5th, 2016. And guess who's back in the building?
Hopefully for good. Hopefully for a while.
For good?
Hopefully for an extended period of time. This time.
Yeah, well, come to work.
Oh, please. Please. Please.
How are you, Danny?
I'm very well. How are you?
I can't complain. Just a little stressed out this morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, the kid got dance pictures.
Oh, hate that stuff.
Yeah, so that's
costumes. I'm sure the teacher's a real pain in the ass.
She's just the costumes, you know, the 5-6 costumes.
The makeup, the makeup,
the hair. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a little stressful, and not to mention it's pouring down raining, mm-hmm. So that's not a good look for black hair. You know what I mean?
Any hair.
Oh, any?
My hair poofs. My hair poofs
oh,
in the rain.
Too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate all of the dance moms holding me down so that I could do my thing this morning. How you been?
Doing pretty well. Glad to be home for an extended period of time now.
How long are you home for?
Hopefully the month of June. Mm. Hopefully nothing's going on with work there. I want to get this off my chest because this happened very, very recently.
You ready to just dive
no,
in?
No, because...
Damn.
Because, you know, like the weekend's supposed to be... your time to either like chill or just tie up your loose ends. The week is usually where everybody's doing a lot of the stuff that they got to do. And then the weekend's where, you know, they get to relax. So I go out to dinner. What night? Friday night in Edgewater, which is from where I live, 40-ish minutes.
Okay.
So it's a good distance.
Whoa.
It's a friend of mine.
Mm. You got a lot of friends.
I'm a nice guy. I'm a friendly guy. So we.
This friend that you went out to dinner with happened to have a vagina? I'm just saying. I don't know. Just asking.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go on.
So we...
Brown?
A shade of, but not your brown?
Not Shea Brown?
Not Shea Brown.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
So we go out to dinner. I had driven there, like I said. I had my keys for some reason in my back pocket. So when I was about to sit down at the table, take my keys out, put them on the table. So okay. I didn't want to sit on them. I don't want to be uncomfortable. So we eat dinner. We're having a good time. Have some wine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we were in a rush to leave or what was going on, but I left my keys on the table.
You was just gazing in those brown eyes, huh?
And
you lost focus.
The restaurant closes.
Oh, my God. And nobody sees the keys?
Nobody sees. Or maybe they did, but they didn't think to whatever.
Oh, God.
So at this point, we were watching something like an Anthony Bourdain show. He was drag racing in Cuba. Anthony Bourdain,
I'm sorry.
Parts Unknown.
Come again.
You don't know who that is?
I don't think so.
Oh, please watch his show. I'm not... free plug, Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. He goes all around the world, tries exotic foods in different locations, learns about the culture.
Okay.
So whatever. We were watching one in Cuba. They're drag racing. I don't know what made me see a car on TV and think of my keys, but I just do the grab. Like you feel your pockets for your keys, your phone, whatever. And my heart sank to my balls.
Okay,
I was like,
where were you at this point?
At my friend's place. We're just shooting the shit.
She lives in Edgewater?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we're just shooting the shit, watching TV.
Okay.
And I do that. Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
It's 11:15 at night. I know this place is closed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck. Like, you know that feeling where you don't know where your keys, your wallet, your wedding
phone.
Ring, your phone,
right.
Whatever.
Your wedding ring? Oh.
Yours.
Oh. No, I know where my ring I don't leave my wedding ring anywhere.
Yeah, you don't put it on a table like my stupid ass did.
Right.
So then, you know, then it becomes a logistical challenge. How do I get home? I have to be somewhere the next day where I need the keys on my key ring.
You know what, Danny? I think this was planned.
Oh, hell no.
I think this was planned.
When I finish the story, you'll find out
right.
that it was not
okay,
planned.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yes, the first inclination of my nice friend is to say, you can crash
yeah.
here. It's no problem.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. I'll let me change it to something more comfortable. I'm like, no. Just because it's not that kind of relationship, it's not that kind of night. And
what kind of night does it have to be?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
You just know this shit. Like we've discussed this ad nauseum, where you have some friends who are in different lanes, and this friend is in the I'm not gonna fuck you lane.
Why not? I mean, she's there.
There are plenty.
You left your keys. You're an hour away from home. I don't understand.
So, but I just feel like just because the ink is there for you to dunk your pen in doesn't mean you have to dunk your pen in that ink.
To dunk.
Okay. There are plenty of inks that you can dunk into. So, you know, then it's 11:15, 11:30 at night.
Oh,
I try to call the restaurant. Of course, they're closed.
Right.
Then my cheap ass is like, fuck, should I Lyft home? Should I Uber home? Edgewater's the kind of place where, like, you take a light rail to a train, to another train. Like,
you considered?
I considered. I'm not going to say I did, but I considered.
Oh, my God.
So then, thank you to the people at Uber. They have to do a little price estimate. So I'm like, all right, how much am I going to be in the hole for me being a jerk off and losing my keys?
Okay.
It comes to, like, $35, $40. That's the estimate.
I'm sure that didn't break you.
No.
Okay.
So at, like, you know, at this point, after I fretted over it and tried calling friends and all this different shit.
Damn, Danny, you cheat. Yeah. Go ahead. $220s.
It's another conversation.
Go ahead.
So I get the Uber home. It's at this point 12:30 at night. The next day I have to do shit where I still need those keys. That's its own nightmare that I have to figure out. But I can't tell you, it's almost like when you're driving on the parkway or something and you see somebody broken down on the side of the road. We've all been there. We've all either had a flat, we've all fucked up the car, whatever, where you just kind of feel for them.
Right.
I haven't been around that, like, losing something in a while. So, like, I felt for myself. Nobody was around. It was 12 o'clock at night.
Oh, the doodle.
All I needed was somebody to be like, oh, man, that sucks. Aww. That's all I needed. I didn't need somebody to sit down and have a drink with me about it. I just was just like, fuck. Like, it just
sucks. You wanted somebody to rub your back.
That's all I wanted.
I know.
It was just so annoying. And I hope somebody out there is like, yeah, man, I lost my keys once. That sucks. That's all I needed to hear. Sometimes you just want to be in the same boat as somebody.
Oh, Danny.
So, Friday night.
You got back. How'd you get back?
I got back with the Uber, the $40 Uber.
40 again.
40, no, oh, to get back to get the car.
Yes.
A nice friend of mine yesterday morning offered to drive me with a spare.
That's a nice. The friend had a vagina?
That friend had a vagina too. I have a lot of giving friends. I'm not dunking my pen into.
All right, go on.
So that friend drives me with my spare. I get my car. The restaurant, of course, isn't open yet.
Oh, brother. This is a freaking nightmare. Please tell me it has a positive ending so we can move on.
Positive ending is my friend who does live in Edgewater got my keys when they opened, and we'll meet up sometime this week to get my keys.
I'm sure you will.
So I'm still keyless.
To this day.
But I have a car. I got here today with a spare key.
Well, whose car?
My car. I have a spare key because I went to go get it. But what a fucking nightmare.
I'm sorry to hear that, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me, giving me the forum.
Vent?
I needed the forum. It's out. It's vented. The end.
How's your love life doing?
It's in flux.
Really?
Let's call it in flux.
Oh, well, everything was all happy and joyous when you were last here. I don't know what had happened, but are you still enjoying your tender love, or what's happening?
Nah, man. I mean, to quote the great Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh my God.
I'm as free as a bird, and this bird you cannot change.
You're free as a bird?
I am.
Things didn't work out, huh?
No, and that's the right way to put it.
No, just didn't work out.
I'm not going to be dragging names through the mud.
Nah, we don't mention names here.
I don't point fingers.
We'll call her Stephanie.
Stephanie and
okay.
It was amicable.
Right, right.
A parting of ways, I should say.
Okay. Nobody lost any money.
No money loss.
You know.
No love loss. You know.
Oh, you went there?
You just part, right?
You had to take it there, though. No love loss?
None. None.
It's unfortunate, though, because I just want to say for the record that I like Stephanie. You know what I mean? But, you know, things happen. Hmm. Move on. You moving on?
That's it.
All right. Let's move on to what's going on in the world today.
Sure, please. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So, as everyone in the world knows, we suffered a tremendous loss in the world today. Muhammad Ali has passed away. And, you know, I'm saddened by this. I got to be honest with you. I'm not no tremendous boxing fan, you know, but in a lot of ways, Muhammad Ali has made a difference to me and I think to overall African Americans. Needless to say, he was successful. I'm going to just say what he meant to me. He's successful, good at his skill. The confidence is what I really admired about him most. Cocky, of course, entertaining. The list could really go on and on and on, but he was just important, and he was overall, in my opinion, a great African-American hero.
Well, what you say to the whole, you know, I'm not a big boxing fan. The thing with Muhammad Ali is he transcended boxing. He transcended sport. He was a guy who kind of like brought words into the lexicon of English that like we didn't even know before.
Right.
You know, as far as just being that over-the-top athlete who had the utmost confidence, who delivered when they went, you know, backed it up kind of thing. So despite not being into sports, you know, my grandmother would have known Muhammad Ali.
That's
my mother, whoever, right? People who don't read a sports page, so to speak. So, you know, I can't speak on the whole African-American part of things, but you know that he was, I bring this up just because I like this coin of phrase, but a pillar of the community. Somebody who for decades, whether fighting for one cause or another, or one belief or another, was always at the forefront.
Right.
For decades. Whether it's, you know, the war stuff, the religion stuff.
Right.
Later in his life, the disease he was battling.
Like you said, you can't relate to the African-American aspect, but, you know, I can't relate to the Islam aspect.
Right.
I can't
right.
relate to him being a man aspect.
Right. But nevertheless, still
something relatable.
Yes.
Correct.
Yep.
So, so I'm going to just run down a little bit about Muhammad Ali. He was born in Louisville, Kentucky. Did I say Louisville right? Because I remember Roman had corrected me and said Louisville or something like that.
Well, anyway, natives.
Louisville, Kentucky. And he was born Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. He was born on January 17th, 1942. He passed away June 3rd. He was, everybody who don't know this, but he was American professional boxer. And he was regarded most significant heavyweight in the history of sport. He was recognized as one of the most recognizable sports figures in the past 100 years. He was actually crowned Sportsman of the Century by Sports Illustrated. He wrote several best-selling books about his career, including The Greatest, My Own Story, and The Soul of a Butterfly, which I'm actually considering reading.
Picking up?
Just curious. He started training at 12 years old, and he won the World Heavyweight Champion from Sonny Liston at 22 years old. You know about Sonny Liston,
sure
Danny?
Sure do. My grandfather, fun fact, not to
inject... He fought Sonny Liston?
Not to inject myself into the story here, the narrative, but my grandfather won the New Jersey Golden Gloves way back when.
Oh, your grandfather was nice like that?
Yeah, so in the late 30s, before he entered World War II, he was a New Jersey Golden Gloves champion. So growing up, I mean, he and I would watch the Tyson fights when Tyson was just wrecking everybody. So I have this soft spot for boxing. So,
okay.
And boxing is the kind of thing where you know your history. You don't just like the current crop of guys. You kind of read up and you watch the film and everything. But keep going. Sorry.
I never knew that about you and Grandpa. So not too long after that, he joined the Nation of Islam and he changed his name. And to this day, Ali remains the only three-time lineal world heavyweight champion nicknamed the greatest.
Do you know what that means? A lineal champion?
Well, I know it has something to do with the line.
The line. So in the later years of boxing, many different commissions would come up. The WBO, the WBC, different people who would recognize different people as champions. So if you're the lineal champion, that means that you're recognized by all the divisions of boxing as the guy in that line.
Okay.
And nowadays it's even more difficult because there's just more things popping up. But ever, it's always a good, or I should say a great accolade to be the lineal champ.
Okay. So that's a pretty decent compliment.
Absolutely.
What else? The greatest was involved in three historic boxing matches. First was the Liston fight. Joe Frazier and George Foreman. What's Joe Frazier's health status lately? I didn't see him in a long time.
Just hopefully stable.
right. I mean, like, is mom right and all of that?
Hope so. I haven't heard anything.
Oh, okay. I saw George Foreman, though, lately. He looked like he's doing
well.
He's
still counting grill money.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah.
He's
all right. People still buying that grill to this day.
I use mine.
Damn. Ali was diagnosed with Parkinson's syndrome in 1984, which that was kind of shocking to me because he'd been dealing with that a long time. And for a lot who don't know, this is a disease that's commonly resulting from head trauma.
Right.
He still remained active during that time, even was a guest referee, which you kind of...
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, for WrestleMania.
Yes, he was.
What you know about that, Danny?
So
that's your area.
That is my area. And what I love about Muhammad Ali is, you know, or I should say pro wrestling is the ultimate showman's form of entertainment. If you are under the radar, or if you're understated in pro wrestling, you're probably not going to make it. So why not get the biggest showman of combative sports, mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali, to highlight, you know, WrestleMania?
How long ago was that? Like
30 years ago? He was present for the early.
So you weren't even born.
No, I wasn't born. But he was around for the early WrestleManias, because they were still trying to make it a brand.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't quite the Super Bowl of wrestling yet. It was still a fledgling type thing. Mm-hmm. But what I like about that is his crossover made so much sense, because you had these over the top superhero type people in wrestling who were pretty much doing their best Muhammad Ali impersonation at that point in the 80s and so on. So to cross over was wonderful. Something about pro wrestling that not many people know is about 30 years ago, Muhammad Ali fought, and it was an exhibition bout against the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time, a guy named Antonio Inoki.
Okay, I don't understand. How can he fight him? He's doing this.
Right.
And so then the guy is wrestling?
Before the bout started, there were some rules. Like, you know, you can't go for certain parts of the feet or leg or whatever.
Okay.
So they go 15 rounds.
What?
They fought in Japan. It was seen by over 1 billion people.
Okay.
At the time, it was very, it was just a big deal. Because he was still relatively young at that point. He was in his mid-30s. And they end up going to a draw, because the Antonio Inoki was ahead by points, but he had some fouls on himself. So those fouls made it a draw. He lost some points. But
you saw on the side he was winning?
He was. It just was. But what's interesting about that is Ali didn't fight very much after that. I mean, he had some matches, but the kicks to the leg that Inoki gave him gave him blood clots.
Oh my God.
And that affected his mobility the rest of his career. So if you look at some of the later film of Ali's career, yes, he's an older gentleman fighting some younger guys, but a lot of people say that's contributed to the wrestling, or I should say the exhibition bout he had with a pro wrestler in Japan.
Interesting. Thank you for enlightening me on that wrestling fact.
Sure, by all means.
So Muhammad Ali was hospitalized on June 2nd with respiratory problems, and it worsened, and soon after he was placed on life support. And late on June 3rd, they announced that he passed away at the age of 74. So it's pretty sad. Ali was married 4 times. He had 7 daughters, 2 sons, and just overall, you know, the world is sad right now. I was just thinking about a personal memory that I had about Ali, and this probably is odd, whatever, but why do I remember watching Different Strokes? And Muhammad Ali was a guest on Different Strokes and played himself. Well, like, this is
like he just walks in the door?
Like, I don't think Arnold or something, like, with Muhammad Ali was his idol, and, you know, he would have meant everything for him. I don't know how many people out there remember that one, but I don't know why that stood in my mind. Like, I had to be like 6 or 7 years old when that happened, but that was pretty memorable to me. And also, the classic exchanges that he had with Howard Cosell was
absolutely.
I mean, that was extremely memorable to me. That, you know, they argue, they fight, they fought,
the fake choking, and all that stuff.
Like, you know, it was like a lot to TV. But overall, they had developed like a 12-year friendship and had a high respect for each other. In 1992, Ali had a big 50th birthday bash, and Cosell had gave like this really emotional speech. He wasn't there. You know how they have them play the video. And it was just after he said his speech or whatever he said, I just remembered at the end, he was like so filled up with the tears. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, Ali, I love you. And it just it's like how you develop like that friendship love.
It puts a big cap on it in a good way.
So just overall, those was just my personal you know what, I was thinking about something else. One time after a fight, Cosell was talking to him and like, how do you feel, champ, or whatever. And he was like, oh, I'm the greatest, and I'm this, and I'm that, or whatever. You know, with his cocky self. Yeah. And he's like, yo, you coming off pretty truculent today. And he was like, truculent? If that's good, then I'm it. Like, those things like that was just, like, classic to me. So
when I was, like, I don't know, probably 10 years old, I bought probably, what is it, a 12 by 16, those, like, show bills, you know, for a concert. But it was actually an original advertisement for a recording that Ali did probably in the late 60s, early 70s. And it was called I Am the Greatest. Mm-hmm. And the bill, it's been in my room for 20 years.
Right.
And it says, he writes and he fights. He bleeds and he reads. And it's Muhammad Ali surrounded by a bunch of books. And he's kind of standing atop all the books. And he's standing very, like, you know, strongly. And it's basically, it was a recording of just him kind of spitting the stuff that he was doing. You know, all of his Fly Like a Butterfly.
Yeah, he was like nice on the mic.
All that. And I all I think about nowadays is, like, the crossover now. You know, because later, a little bit after or around that time, you know, Jim Brown was doing movies.
Right.
Things like that. Ali was, again, I'll use the word transcendent. He was someone who came in, and if you didn't know boxing, you knew him. If you only saw the face, you knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do, especially in an era where you weren't being covered by every form of media in the world, where it took days to hear about things. Or,
right.
You had four channels or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was inside people's homes all the time,
right,
for one reason or another. It's amazing.
And he was the greatest.
He was.
So,
rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, champ. So, just kind of sad, you know, all of these celebrity losses that we had in 2016 alone. Okay. Like, Prince, obviously.
Yeah.
David Bowie.
Mm-hmm. There's a big super group right now in heaven.
Maurice White.
Yep.
Go on.
But yeah, I mean,
Fife Dog.
I don't know if I know you don't read, like, the message boards for music websites, but I mean, like, there's a lot of jokes going around it. It's like, not coke, not heroin, not traffic accidents, not drugs. 2016 is the killer, the biggest killer of all musicians.
Oh, that's horrible.
And it's like, it's really fucked up to read, but horrible. It's like every 2-4 weeks.
Well, you know, I hope the next time we meet, we don't have another RIP. At least I hope it's at least a couple of weeks before.
So aside from the song of the week, the RIPs is like the weekly segment.
Oh, yeah, it's just like, well, but anyway. So the biggest story that's been going on this week,
yep,
which I'm sure that you've heard, is this damn gorilla story.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. So it's about a week old, but of course we need to recap. Mm-hmm. So a 3-year-old from Cincinnati. He fell into a gorilla's enclosure, and everyone was in a panic because the gorilla was shot and killed because, you know, people were worried that the gorilla could possibly
harm
or kill the child. And freaking America's in an uproar.
It is.
And I'm bothered by this.
Okay, please share.
Do you want to share first? Because mine could possibly go over as a rant.
Sure.
So it might, you know.
Yeah, my thoughts on this are basically, we as humans are at the top of the food chain. And
the food chain?
Yeah, we are the top of the food chain. And as a result, we can make decisions, irrational or rational, to just end the lives of those beneath us on the food chain. And
give me an example, sir.
Every day, we kill deer, we kill fish, we kill everything. Now, whether the intent or any of that is, or whether or not our lives are in danger is in question. But I think at the end of the day, those who write the books, those with the pens in their hands, so to speak, are the most powerful. We dictate who lives and who doesn't.
But okay, so, you know what bothers me? Let me just say this. Okay, sure. So the debate was kind of like whether
the thing should have lived.
The thing.
Should
it be tranquilized?
Right.
Or was it necessary to kill him dead?
Right.
And I just, you know what I had a problem? My problem was how the white people was going mad hard with, what's his name? Harambe?
Uh-huh.
Harambe's life mattered. That was a jab,
hashtag,
by the way.
Hashtag.
Just to let you know, that was a jab. Do you feel that the animal should not have been killed? Just for the record. I just want to know your view on that, because we never discussed it.
I feel like when you're dealing with something like that, there's no such thing as a half measure. You can't say, and I've heard, okay, let me just give a little anecdote here. I was on the train this week going to work, and I heard a woman, middle-aged woman, nearby on the train say, "Oh, they could have pumped that gorilla with a trank, and that thing would have passed out." How do you know, miss? You work in administration in an office building. How the fuck do you know what tranquilizers do?
How about this? I'm not a doctor in any way, shape, or form, but I know that there's nothing that you could have shot a 400-pound gorilla with that would have tranquilized him immediately.
Even if there is that silver bullet of tranquilizers,
it's not
who the fuck knows what's going to happen? And I would say that a child's life is 100% of the time more valuable than an ape. I'm sorry.
Okay, I totally agree with you, which we're doing good, all right, so far. So, it's just mad dumb to me. Like, why is this even open for discussion? And then, of course, the question was raised, was the mother negligent? Now, I'm just going to speak right now for me as a mother.
Yep.
And to answer that question, I don't feel that she was negligent because, first of all, the kid is 3. You could turn your head for a half a freaking second, and your child has her hand on or his hand on the daggone light socket.
Yep.
You could turn your head for a half a second and your kid is taking a sip of your Hennessy. I don't know what the hell this shit is, whatever. But when you have especially multiple children, which this lady had, anything is freaking possible. It's not that serious to me for these people to be out here actually protesting when you got somebody like George Zimmerman that's out here making a profit off of a child's death. That bothers me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, the Harambe's life matters. Like, we taking it there? Mm-hmm. That's a jab.
Right.
So we had discussed before about the all Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, why does Black people always have to do with the Black? All lives do matter. Right. I don't know why does it Black? Because when Black lives, I ain't trying to get deep on people or whatever, we killed, we murdered or whatever the situation is, a lot of people act like we don't matter. So it's just...
And quite frankly, there's not a lot of white bodies being dropped in the street.
This is what I'm saying. But they need to really knock it off with this freaking gorilla because I'm sick of this shit.
It's also a commentary on whenever there's a news story.
Rest in peace, Harambe. Come on.
It's this phenomenon that happens with social media where wherever something happens, whether it's the death of an icon in Muhammad Ali, the death of this gorilla, everybody needs to have an opinion and everybody needs to share it. Whether it's faux outrage, you know, something that you didn't care about yesterday, you automatically have an opinion about today. Something that won't matter to you tomorrow, but is hot today.
Right.
R.I.P. Harambe.
Yeah.
Hashtag gorilla. Whatever it is. That's
what. How about, why is the gorilla caged? Let's take it there. We could take it all the way there. Why is he not free in Africa, in the wild, or where he needs to be?
Oh.
Like, we could go on for
it's
this.
It's a money-making venture, but yeah.
But I'm just saying. Right. We could always take it there and take it there.
I just think something else that came out from this gorilla thing was talking about, maybe it was a different story, so you can correct me. But it was something about this kid's father.
Yeah. They didn't want to pull his record and shit.
The father had a record or some shit. It's like, whoa. Father wasn't even there, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you!
Second of all, don't... Look, it's an isolated story. It's over. But why do you want to open up this can of worms over some...
dead gorilla.
Shit that's not even related, though. Right? that type of gorilla is endangered... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like I said, top of the food chain right here.
So what are they saying? Would they have preferred that the little Black boy died?
Right.
That's what it seems like to me.
Imagine the influx and flood of hashtags if that kid got mauled.
You know what? It probably wouldn't even be like all of this, how they doing right now. No, I'm saying we laugh about it, but I'm just being real about the situation.
And maybe then, I mean, I wouldn't say that that's when you attack a mother. Or whatever, if a kid actually died. But it's like, the kid's alive.
Right.
Don't be dragging parental shit into it.
This is just another case of, you know, when, you know, they take things too far. But there's another story in the news a couple of weeks ago in Chile.
Okay.
A man jumps into an enclosed lion's den.
Removed
all of his clothes before approaching because he was attempting to commit suicide.
Smart.
And then people later found a suicide note in his clothes and the zoo staff immediately killed the 2 lions.
No questions asked.
Immediately, okay? Killed the 2 lions because of course they eventually mauled his dumb ass. Okay, so they shot him dead. I'm sorry, not him dead. The lion's dead.
Right.
The zoo statement reads, "We firstly protect the life of a person and are obliged to apply all security protocols." That's funny. Chile is, they care about people in Chile, huh? Mm-hmm. The lions were killed in front of a very large crowd. They didn't give a damn. So you know kids was looking too.
Right.
And the 20-year-old was hospitalized and is still in serious condition. Mm-hmm. Now, how's that for negligence?
Where's the outrage for that?
Is anybody protesting about the two lions about this? Mm-hmm. This is the shit that I'm talking about that gets on my nerves. And you know what's sad about that particular story?
What's that?
And this is just critics' opinion. Mm-hmm. His fucking ass lived.
Right.
That's what's sad about that. You incited them. What did you think that they were going to do? Nobody cares, but nobody's protesting. He's not on the news. His mother and father's jail record is not being on the Channel 7 news. None of that.
Right.
Why is that? You know what it makes me? It makes me think about the emoji. You know the one looking up with the
thinking.
Finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't. I ain't seen no protesters for that. You know what? Another thing too. Sorry. I'm just a little bit annoyed about this gorilla story. Okay, a couple of days ago, another situation.
Mm-hmm.
In Brooklyn, Williamsburg, 5-year-old jumps off of a 5-story apartment balcony.
Right.
To his death, mind you.
Rest in peace.
Right. Terrible story. Nobody, no child, nobody needs to go out like that.
No.
That's sad in my heart, truthfully.
As a mother, as a human.
As
anybody. Yep.
But at the same token, where was obviously somebody wasn't watching his ass?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see protesters out there?
You see hashtags?
Did you see hashtags? No. That's maybe.
What kind
sad.
Of neighborhood did this take place in? Was there like?
It's predominantly Hasidic Jews.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know, ain't nobody saying nothing. Nah. Okay. You know it's gonna be quiet. That's when you just think. It's deep.
So they're not looking into the mother's background.
Nothing like that. 5-year-old boy, he falls. He was the youngest of 6 kids. His siblings were home at the time. Allegedly, there was an adult there. We're never going to get the truth to that, whether there was or wasn't one there. I found out that his biological mother had died 2 years prior to cancer. So, he had his stepmother was around. Don't know if she was there or not. It just sounds like, you know, a lot of covering for me. And it's just the overall sad situation. But I just kind of wanted to point out that, you know, in these situations, I just notice how media just try to attack black people. Because as soon as they found out that little boy was brown, everybody went the hell off. And all of a sudden, his life was not important, and the gorillas was, but I just needed to vent. I'm sorry.
No, it's beyond a valid point because it is the point. You can see how 3 stories were covered.
I heard no one talk about negligence with that story.
Right.
And clearly, nobody was watching. Mm-hmm. This is sad. Mm-hmm. Racist world we live in, brother.
Oh, I know.
It's a racist world.
I know it.
It's a struggle out here. But anyway, no, I'm for real. Just to lighten things up a little bit, because, you know, I'm just tight. But you know what? This story make me tight, too. Craig Mack. Lord have mercy. Yo, first of all, this video with Craig Mack with this religious cult.
Well, why are you calling it a religious cult?
Because...
Let's step back.
Okay, let me tell you why. Because it seems like... It's not anything voluntary to me. It seems like it's forced to me. It seems like that's what cults do. It's like you're under pressure to be a part of something.
As
it's
opposed not like, to willingly on your own.
Right, just going to church on Sundays or whatever. It seemed like when he spoke, not when he rapped, because that was special. When he was just speaking, he sound controlled. He sound robotic. He sound like, I don't know, it just didn't sound natural to me. It was saddened.
Sedated almost.
Almost. Like somebody put some shit in his food.
So because quite frankly, when this got brought to my attention.
Do you know who Craig Mack is?
I was just going to say, this got brought to my attention, I feel like I've only read the name Craig Mack.
Okay.
Probably in a liner note or seeing a video from the 90s or something like that.
Do you do know Flavor in Your Ear? That song?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
No, I'm always the first to admit my ignorance. I may not even know the ear.
I think you do, by the way. Think you do. When you hear it, you'll.
Okay.
It was a big record.
So Craig Mack had a big record.
Yes.
How many years ago? 20 years ago?
It had to be.
Okay, 20 years ago.
Right.
Falls into some shit.
I just want to say this, me speaking. I think Craig Mack and Rom.
Okay.
You know, like he was a talent to
right.
me.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, this right here, when it was brought to my attention, was just clearly a sad day in hip hop.
Okay, but like, I'm saying, like, after his peak, did he go through a bunch of bad shit, or did he just kind of fall off?
I think I didn't hear about anything.
Okay.
Like, I didn't hear nothing about, like, jail or drugs
right.
or
so
nothing
he didn't, like
that.
Have a big fall.
He just disappeared.
Okay. And that happens more often than not in the industry.
Right, and, like, don't get me wrong. There's people that was in the hip hop industry that have left and they did something positive mm-hmm. and they found God and they living their life differently mm-hmm. or whatever, but that's different about this story.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying it's not authentic. It seems like it's cultish.
So this video out there that I had the privilege of watching.
Keep in mind, it came out like 3 years ago.
Oh,
but it
video?
Just resurfaced.
Just resurfaced. Okay. So yeah, I'll give it to you. Like, I feel like anytime you see a white man with wispy white hair.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And a billowy shirt.
His name is Ralph Gordon Stare, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know.
Can I do a little detour for a second?
Okay, go.
Anytime there's a white man with three names, you have to beware. John Wilkes Booth, okay? Like anything like that. Just always keep your guard up.
Be mindful.
Be mindful.
Three names.
Three
okay,
names.
What else? Anything else we should be aware of?
No, but watching that video, you see this centerpiece figure of this religion. I won't say cult yet, because I don't really know.
I'm telling you,
okay,
this cult.
Potential cult
okay,
leader.
It's a cult.
You know, he's just looking like this postmodern Manson type.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you don't feel comfortable. And then all of a sudden, this black man comes into the frame.
I noticed the BL. Go on.
Uh-huh. Comes into the
man.
Frame.
Right.
Black guy.
Right.
Comes into the frame. Subdued.
Keep in mind, he's like the only freaking black person in the freaking congregation. I'm looking at everybody and all I see is just white faces.
Right.
That don't seem right. Usually when we go to church and stuff, there's a lot of, it's either mixed.
Right.
Or it's a lot of all brown. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of all white. Mm-hmm. Whatever the situation, beige. You know, whatever the situation is, it's usually either totally mixed or all of something or all of something else.
Uh-huh.
This Ralph Gordon Stare dude, by the way, just so you can know, because, mm-hmm. you know, since everybody wants to pull up people's backgrounds and shit.
Sure.
He is a alleged child molester. Okay. Mm. Just to let you know a little
plot
bit.
Plot thickens.
Yeah, I had to go Google Mr. Stare a little bit to see what the hell he's doing to poor Craig Mack over there in Walterboro, South Carolina. He testifies in the tape that, you know, his former life and music is wicked and the Stare guy refers to himself as a prophet. But keep in mind, he was accused of raping women in his ministry in 2002.
Yum.
Yeah, he's guilty of two counts of sexual assault. In 2007, he was even ordered to pay over $700,000 in damages to his victims. So, in my opinion, and I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure in yours too, there's nothing good about this story with Craig Mack.
Okay, but again,
sounds dangerous
back to, my point.
To me. Somebody save him. Can we get a group? Can we get like a little army or something to go in and save this brother before it's too
break
late?
Break down the walls.
Something.
Take him back. Listen, there's something to be said. Lee Harvey Oswald, John Wilkes Booth, Mr. Stairs. He has three names.
John Wilkes.
Mark it down. White men, three names. Bad deal.
Oh, man. All I got to say is that ultimately, I do wish him the best. It's sad that I probably will never, ever hear him rhyme how he used to rhyme ever again.
So I listened to, I'm ashamed to say it, I listened to the, like, the real version of the rap that he did a cappella in this video.
Oh, God.
In front of the congregation. And it's a very positive message. If you remove the fact that he's with a three-named white Manson type.
You with the three names.
And this like private congregation that may do terrible things. It's a great message. I love God. People will try to tempt me. The devil will be turned away. All this positive stuff. Like, it's a positive message. But I'm just, you know, to your
but
point.
But what, to what extreme?
I'm concerned about what may
I'm concerned about
on.
What happened when that video went off. What the fuck is going on back there?
It
in
was
the church?
Very concerning. You guys should look
in
for it.
In the green room.
He was very subdued in the video. And it's one thing, it's one thing to be like thankful and you're kind of like, yes, you're kind of bowed. But he was just like, amen.
Right. It and was then he very, was, praise him!
Right. It was, I don't know.
Matt blurting out like, what are you doing to Greg Mack, someone?
Yeah, maybe we can get an update. Maybe we should see if he...
He should be followed. Maybe we'll have 2020 try to go out there and find out.
How about one of those Where Are They Nows?
I like those.
VH1.
I'm just sad to hear ultimately about certain bad boy artists that, yo, I enjoyed growing up. I don't know how old you was, Danny, but I know you barely know who Craig Mack is or whatever.
Please indulge me.
No, somebody else that I like from Bad Boy was Loon. Did you hear? You don't know. Why even fucking ask? Loon was also signed to Bad Boy, and Loon got 14 years in jail for a heroin charge.
Poor Loon.
He already did 8.5, so, I mean... Do the math.
Didn't they or aren't they doing right now Bad Boy Reunion?
You know, I think that's actually why the Craig Mack story started. Yeah, because everybody was like, where's Craig Mack? You know, everybody would have loved to see him.
Oh, he's rapping about God.
That would have been dope when he come out on the reunion.
He comes in all white. They're all wearing all black. He comes in, he rises from the ground.
That would have been, he had a robe.
Yes.
Oh, look, the singers in the
yes.
back. That would have been hot. He should have thought
right
about
before
it.
The intermission, you have Craig Mack come out and give a nice positive message before
would,
you go to the concession
that
stand.
Actually would have been kind of dope.
That would have been nice.
You know who else I like from Bad Boy? G. Depp.
Love him.
Do you really?
No idea.
I hate you. G. Depp was dope too. G. Depp, a.k.a. Ghetto Dependent. His biggest record was Special Delivery. Now, I know that
wasn't talking about like a teddy bear or something, right?
No.
Probably not.
No. Okay. But anyway, it was a very, very big record.
Okay.
So let me just tell you a little bit about
G. Depp.
Yeah, G. Depp was involved in a robbery in 1993 where he tried to rob. He was on his bike, and I guess, you know, he was hard up for money. Rumor has it that he was at the time out here doing drugs or whatever. So he was trying to get some quick cash. And he saw this dude, and he was like, yo, give me your money. The guy, whatever, resisted a little bit, and he shot him dead.
93.
Okay. And 7 years later... 2012, I'm assuming it was.
7 years of 2000.
2000, okay. 2000. He just couldn't deal with it. His conscience was killing him. So he went to the police department and he confessed that he did this murder.
And when did Special Delivery come out? Like
delivery.
After 93 and before 2000?
Matter of fact, I would say... I'm not sure. In the 2000s. I don't have the exact date on that. But anyway... it was just deep to me. Like, everybody was like, yo, this nigga, man, stupid. Like, why he do that? But, yo, I ain't mad at G-Dub. Like, you gotta have a conscience. Like,
it's very rare that happens. Usually people who do that shit are like, thank God, like, it's done. You start denying it to the point where you believe it, that it didn't happen or whatever.
And you know, not to mention, it was like a lot of years of him abusing himself with drugs. And who knows what was going to... through his mind at that time, but ultimately he confessed and he was sentenced to 15 years to life. So, you know, it just came to mind about another Bad Boy artist that I miss. We ain't never gonna hear from no good music from them two again, or Loon probably. So, I don't know. I'm just venting, Danny.
That's good. I mean, I just feel like I can't say anything about that whole industry.
I know. I don't know about the rock and roll industry either.
Right, but what I find very interesting is like these guys will have, I should say, just not ideal upbringing, or you know, they're exposed to a lot of growing up.
And then
they somehow get caught up in some good stuff, and they might get a hit record or something.
Right.
It's almost like certain NBA players where they get all this money, they don't know what the fuck to do with it because they've never been exposed to that before.
That's right.
And they have everybody and their mother
grabbing
for it. So it's a similar thing.
It is. It's pretty
unfortunate.
Sad.
It's unfortunate.
Sad.
You would think that once you broke good, you'd stay good, but then you break bad. Or maybe some demons come back, whatever it may be. It's unfortunate.
It is. Well, just put it to you like this. Whether it was drugs, whether it was his conscience, or no matter what it was, I wish him well. And in my opinion, I think he was kind of a hero for that. Because not for nothing. That man had a family.
Right.
You don't know that man had you know, for him to just step forward and want to pay his debt to society, you know, I commend G Depp for that. So he's a hero to me. All right. So, speaking of other heroes, let's talk about, that Bronx man.
Okay. Tell it.
Which I feel is a hero to me, that's being charged with manslaughter.
Yep.
After attacking his wife's would-be rapist.
Yep.
With a metal pipe, and he killed him to death. Now, okay. let me just give you a little.
Yep.
Oh boy, what a wicked world we live in.
It's just twisted.
It's just deep. All right, so a 50-year-old woman was in her apartment when a man forced his way in, ripped off her clothes, tried to rape her. He caused contusions to her head. She screamed. She tried her best to fight it off. She was trying to fight him off. In the little moment that she did was able to fight him off, she grabbed the cell phone trying to reach her husband to let her know that, you know, all of this shit was going down.
Right.
Luckily and coincidentally, her husband was like in front of the building. He comes upstairs. He catches the dude in the hallway while he's coming out and beats the living shit out of him with a metal pipe, mm-hmm. and he kills him. Okay. So tell me why this man has a manslaughter charge. Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening. You ask why? I'm going to tell you why. Okay, the reason why is because the police department or the laws, yep. what they say is that the only way that he would have been able to get off is if
he was attacking him.
If he would have beat him or killed him, rather, while he was actually doing the crime.
Right. Oh, God.
So
if you come over to my house and I see you shoot my mother... Or I don't see it.
Right.
I hear you.
But you see her laying there.
I walk in 2 seconds later, see my mother dead. I see a smoking gun in your hand.
A smoking one?
Okay. And then you kill me. And I kill you. I'm going in.
You're going to jail.
That's fucked.
Yeah. So it's just another example, in my opinion, where, our system fails us.
Yeah, that's something where somebody's got to go and look at whatever this was written on way back when and just review it.
So let me just think for a second. Should he have waited until he was on top of her and his right. penis was actually in before he took the pipe and bludged him to the fucking... I don't know. What would have been the right thing to do?
The only thing I can think of is this probably isn't the first time something like this has happened. Mm-hmm. So I'd be curious, if I'm this guy's defense team.
Right.
I'm going back. I'm looking at every self-defense case, every rape case, every death case.
Oh, you're pulling up records.
Fucking A. I'm like, you ever see those montages in the movies where they're looking at old microfilm in the libraries, like looking through the old newspaper articles and shit? I'm looking at everything because this is not the first time that a man killed a man because he was fucking with his woman.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that guy's team's got to do due diligence. But yeah, it's really fucked up. If I'm in this similar situation and that's my wife... That guy's dead.
Thank you. Like, this is no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
There's no lawyer that wouldn't agree with this. There's no judge that wouldn't agree with this. There's no jury that wouldn't agree with this.
I'm not one of those people who is a firm believer in, like, street justice or anything like that.
I am.
Or vigilantism or anything.
I am.
But this calls for that shit. And if
he just finished beating the shit out of your wife.
If a judge...
Her clothes was off, Danny.
I'm with you. If a judge can be up there with a straight face and say, sir, you're wrong, you know, you have to go to jail for this. Like, the system is broken. Broken.
Beyond belief.
That's so beyond belief. Crazy.
But, you know, it's just, I don't know. Oh, man, Ashevitz.
I can't even wrap my head around that one.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm definitely going to be following this story because I just think it's ridiculous.
Let's start getting some hashtags for this stuff.
Yeah. Why isn't none there?
You know what I mean? Like, there's not one person out there who can stand up for the dead man. You know what I'm saying?
His mama.
I was going to say, whether or not he has a family or not, I'm sure his mama would be like, yeah, he was wrong.
Well, actually, I did see, like, somebody, like, one of his cousins was on the news defending him, talking about he didn't have no right to be killing him because he got mental issues.
They all do. After they get caught, okay, they all got mental issues. Once they get caught, they're unstable to stand trial. They're not, you know, competent. No, that's fucked.
I know.
That's bad news.
There's a lot going on in America today. Mm. We kind of winding down. I want to just quickly glance over one more little thing that happened in the news. And it was that Tamar Braxton story.
Okay.
So do you know who Tamar Braxton is, Danny? I always got to start off with this because it's usually when they're black. Right. It's like 50-50.
Let's do a little game here.
All right. Okay.
She's related to Toni Braxton.
Ding, ding, ding. That's all that matters. That's okay. All that matters to white people.
Is it a sister?
It is.
Oh, Toni Braxton's sister.
Correct, correct.
Younger, older, better
She's
looking?
Actually the youngest of five
The youngest
sisters.
Braxton.
Right, she's the youngest Braxton.
Okay.
She's a singer, by the way.
They all are.
She's married to...
Is she a real singer or like...
No, she can
like
sing.
My sister's a singer, so I'm a singer, or is she a real singer?
No, she's a real singer.
Okay.
She's a real singer.
Okay. I saw that hesitation.
No, I'm trying to like assess and make sure that
I'm saying
the right thing.
Like Britney Spears has a sister who sings.
No, she can sing.
Okay.
She can sing. So she's married to a big music industry mogul.
Okay.
He's the founder of Lady Gaga.
Okay.
His name is Vince Hubert. Mm-hmm. Am I saying the last name right? He's actually was managing Toni Braxton for a while or whatever. Yep. Anyway, he's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's married to him. Anyway, Tamar was on a reality show called The Real.
Okay.
The reality show that I basically had no interest in. It's kind of really a bore. And Tamar was pretty much the life of the reality show.
Okay.
They had her other co-host was Adrian Balyan. I don't know if you know who this is. What did I say? Reality? Okay, I'm sorry. It was a talk show.
Matt? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Adrian Balyan. You know who that is?
No idea.
Okay. She was with the Cheetah Girls. She was mostly known for dating Rob Kardashian for a long time. Basically,
Great.
She ain't nobody.
Great.
She had a couple of Disney jobs or whatever with mm-hmm, Raven or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then he got Lonnie Love. I know who
that is.
Oh, you do?
She's a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know who Lonnie Love was before The Real came out, just so you know. Is she good?
She's all right.
It doesn't matter.
You like her.
Then you got this other Asian girl named Jeannie Mai. You ever heard of her?
Nope.
Never heard of her a day in my life either. And lastly, Tamara Mari.
I know her.
Oh, okay. Because she's the famous twin.
Sister.
Yep. Okay, so it seems what happened was it was like some drama behind the scenes, and people was throwing shade on Tamar, throwing her under the bus to producers, saying that she was a freaking drama queen, and you know, she's with the makeup, with the hair, with this, she's a bitch. Well, all of this behind the scenes talk about Tamar, and not for nothing, I'm gonna just say this right now, she probably was, you know, a diva, whatever, because you know, needless to say, she's rich or whatever. Not to make that as an excuse to be an asshole to anybody, but what I'm trying to say is that I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but I'm just gonna assume that Tamar was probably trying to be a little extra,
a bit of a diva.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My situation with this story is that I don't like the little backstabbing shit. Like, I don't like the little running your mouth behind the scenes, going to the producers, sucking all, you know, Tamar's and mother. Those is the same bitches that be in your house eating, them same people that smile in their face, talking about, girl, I got you, girl, I'ma pray for you, and all of that. Those is the snakes that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Long story short, because I'm really trying to do the rap.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harvey has a big production company called East 112th Street Productions, where you already know he's doing tremendous things in this television
very
industry.
Successful. Yep.
And he just signed Tamar to his production. Whether it be the case where he's cool with Vince, whether it's just totally about connections or whatever, I'm happy for Tamar.
So she got booted from The Real.
She got axed from The Real, correct.
For being
extra. Because keep in mind, they're not saying that that's the reason.
Right.
And okay, but that's the rumored.
And then
reason.
On the rebound, Steve Harvey picks her up for probably a development deal or whatever.
Talking about he can very well see her with her own talk
being
show.
Being the face of whatever.
Being the face of a game show or whatever.
Right.
So what I'm saying to you is that somebody thought that they was debting her situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she wound up getting a better situation. Huh. So I just wanted to say that, you know, kudos for Tamar, because I just don't like that little sneaky snake shit that go on, because as you already know that I've experienced that several times. You know, when people was moving funny, they plotting for your failure. Guess what? When you believe and you do good things and you a good person, you always come out on top.
Agreed.
And you know, I just wanted to say that I was happy for Tamar with that situation.
Good for her.
You know, there's a quote that Oprah said that I actually love this quote.
Okay.
And the quote is that you cannot be friends with somebody who wants your life. That you just can't.
Well said.
I totally agree with that statement. And you know, I just wanted to say, as far as Tamar goes, I wish her well. I wish her well.
Agreed.
So, I know that a couple of weeks ago, the people who watch know that you had some homework.
Yeah, I have some overdue homework.
Yeah, you really passed due. You should be bringing extra credit at this point.
Well, I am.
Oh, are you?
I am. Excuse me.
You're excused. So you have homework by a song that I happen to be, well, have been feeling lately. It's probably old now.
Yeah.
But it's by Alicia Keys.
It is.
And what's the exact title? In Common? Or is it?
In Common, I think.
Oh, okay. In Common. But you're going to do your little rendition of In Common?
My little rendition?
Your little one.
I feel like whenever women use the term "you're little."
What does that mean?
It's dismissive.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to do your big rendition of In Common?
I'm going to try.
You like big better?
Your big rendition.
Do you like that better?
That's a lot of pressure. Okay. Your big rendition. No, okay. I just feel like women will be like,
your rendition.
Are you done watching your little show?
Oh,
I feel
okay.
like women.
With your little friends.
Exactly. Your little fantasy football draft.
With your little fucking attitude.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. That's all to say. I'll give my 2 cents about it after.
In five.
Here we go. There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God, I know I'm one.
Uh-oh. Everybody now, in the cheap seats.
We got way too much in common.
Uh-oh!
If I'm being honest with you, we got way too much in common.
All right.
Since I'm being honest with you, who wants to love somebody like me? You want to love somebody like me? If you could love somebody like me, you must be messed up too.
All right.
Who wants to love somebody like me? You want to love somebody like me? If you could love somebody like me, you must be messed up too. We used to talk till midnight.
All right.
All these days that you stayed in my house, we were just passing the time. When we were young and you had no vows, said I'll be gone by 5. But it's sunrise, I'm still in your bed. Good night usually means goodbye. Me repeating memories in my head.
All right.
So we got way too much in common. If I'm being honest with you, we got way too much in common. Since I'm being honest with you, who wants to love somebody like me? You want to love somebody like me? If you could love somebody like me, you must be messed up too.
I am.
Who wants to love somebody like me? You want to love somebody like me? If you could love somebody like me, you must be messed up too. Cause we got way too much in common.
All right, Danny. This sound like that was personal.
I like that one.
You do?
I do.
Oh, you're not you liking something I like.
I like that one. I felt like it wasn't as deep as most Alicia Keys things. You know what I mean? Like usually she's like really just ripping at the heart.
Uh-huh.
Like, or she's really talking like some real truth. So this was a little bit more on the surface.
Right.
But I liked it.
I did too. And I liked your little rendition.
No, thank you. My little rendition. Yeah.
It was really cute. You kind of scared me in the beginning. You was going a little Tim McGraw-ish. You know what I'm saying?
That's a song by The Animals that I just wanted to play. It's the same key.
I feel you.
Props to The Animals.
But it came around.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
I missed you, Danny.
I missed you back.
Oh, I wasn't even prepared to give you new homework.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
maybe
man.
We'll share midweek on social media or something.
Okay.
Keep an eye out at Lachey Show.
Yeah.
On Twitter, yeah. On Instagram.
Lachey Show on Twitter. Lachey Show on Instagram. Lachey Show on Facebook. Lachey Show at gmail.com. And of course, if you missed it, you can catch the podcast on brooklynradio.com the following Tuesday.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. I wasn't even prepared. I should have gave you a Craig Mack song.
Hey, that
would have been dope.
We'll see.
You want to do Flavor in Your Ear? No, you might be.
Do I want to do it?
You don't. You
okay.
might be annoyed.
We'll think about it.
But I miss Craig Mack, Danny.
Well, okay. When we
I should give you a G Dep song.
When we drop the show on Tuesday, that's when you let everybody know what I'm going to be doing next week.
All right. Cool? I could do that. All right. I could do that. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for watching. And you know what? I'm going to leave today on a Muhammad Ali quote.
Perfect.
Let's leave the show with, don't count your days, make your days count.
Beautiful.
Love that. I really do. Thanks, y'all. Push, 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 push